God really laid on my heart over the last few days, Psalm 27. It's a psalm that I'm sure we all know really well. One thing I desire of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, that I may seek him in his temple. That's the one part of Psalm 27, I think, that we all tend to lock in to. But actually, the whole psalm is full of truth and full of richness. And I just want to spend a few moments just thinking about that, and thinking about David and who David was, and how God feels about David. David is often referred to as a man after God's own heart. Samuel himself, when he was going to anoint David, said that, God has chosen a man after his own heart. And the Apostle Paul, when he was referring back to the life of David, also called David a man after God's own heart. And so it kind of, I think to myself, what was it about David that caused two mighty men of God to refer to him as a man after God's own heart? Because David was not without his faults and his character flaws. He had some pretty monumental sins in his life. And yet, in spite of all of that, God saw him as a man after his own heart. And I think it's because for David, there was nothing more important to him than to pursue God, to want to be in his presence, to want to involve God in every aspect of his life, whether David was being a shepherd, whether he was running for his life and having to hide in a cave or something like this, or whether he was, out in battle, or whether he was in the palace being a king over a nation. In all these respects, David just wanted to involve God in everything. He wanted to know the truth. He wanted to obey God. He wanted to please God. There was nothing more important to David than God. And this is why God called him a man after my own heart. And so think of that man when we enter into this psalm. And I want to read Psalm 27 out of the Passion. There's something about this translation that brings some freshness to scripture, and would highly recommend it. And so start reading at verse 1 in the Passion, and it says this: "The Lord is my revelation light to guide me along the way. He's the source of my salvation to defend me every day. I fear no one. I'll never turn back and run from you, Lord. Surround me and protect me. When evil ones come to destroy me, they will be the ones who turn back. My heart will not be afraid, even if an army rises to attack. I know that you are there for me, so I will not be shaken." Now, if we just pause for a moment, no, we're not really surrounded, are we, at this moment in time by enemies and by armies? We don't feel like we are, under some sort of a nuclear attack or anything like this. But there is an enemy all around us at large at this moment, and we're not even talking about Satan. There is an invisible enemy, this coronavirus, this COVID-19, which is bringing the world to its knees, and people, all around, they are full of despair, and bad things are happening. People are really struggling with what's happening, and this is the hidden enemy around us. And what David is saying here is, no matter what is going on, no matter what is facing me, I don't need to fear. I don't need to despair, because the Lord protects me. And this is something I think we need to really grasp hold of, during this quite unprecedented times that we find ourselves in at the moment, that we really don't need to fear. That God is not out of control. He is bigger than this situation, and we can truly, truly trust him. It goes on to say, "Here's the one thing that I crave from God, the one thing I seek above all else. I want the privilege of living with him every moment in his house, finding the sweet loveliness of his face, filled with awe, delighting in his glory and grace. I want to live my life so close to him that he takes pleasure in my every prayer. In his shelter, in the day of trouble, that's where you'll find me. For he hides me there in his holiness. He has smuggled me into his secret place, where I'm kept safe and secure, out of reach from all my enemies. Triumphant now, I'll bring him my offerings of praise, singing and shouting with ecstatic joy. Yes, listen, and you can hear the fanfare of my shouts of praise to the Lord. So we just pause again. You know, this man who has had to face so many battles, who has had to fear for his life, who has armies surrounding him, and threatening his life. Here we find him in the presence of God, shouting praise, a fanfare of praise. There's something that within him has risen up, you know, and overcome his fears, overcome everything that's going on around him, in the reality of everything that's going on around him, and he finds himself able to praise God. But there's a particular phrase that I liked in this Passion version that I want to draw out, and it says, "I want to live my life so close to Him." It's that phrase, so close. I want to be so close. And I want to ask us all just to consider a personal question at this moment in time. How close do I feel I am to God at this moment in time? How close? Are you close at all? Are you far away? Or are you so close? Are you so close that no matter what comes your way, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, no matter how big the situations are that are going on around us this moment in time, I am so close that nothing affects my spirit, nothing affects my faith, nothing affects my hope, because I am so close. And he's so close that he realizes that God hears and has pleasure in every one of his prayers. He is living and breathing and communicating with God. And, you know, and this is where we need to be right now. You know, if ever there's a time where we need to be so close to God, and I know I keep emphasizing that phrase, but it's the phrase I feel that God really has, you know, gripped me with at the moment. I want to grip you all with is, you know, we all need to be so close. Do you get that? Feel it. We need to be so close to God that we can rise up with a message of hope. We can rise up with strength. We can rise up with faith in these most challenging times. And, you know, David is talking about being in his temple, isn't he? To being in the presence of God. And it's not about being in a physical place. It would have been lovely, wouldn't it, today, for many of us who signed up. It would have been lovely to have been in Frenchay Village Hall, worshipping together physically, feeling that strong sense of corporate worship and the joy that that brings, and that sense of in the presence of God that we have when we, you know, we are physically together. But, you know, at this moment in time, we are not allowed to do that. But we can still be so close in the presence of God, you know, if we open up our hearts and our spirits and we are determined to press through these circumstances, and we're determined to press through the obstacles, and we're determined to press through anything that gets in the way, to say, I want to be so close in the presence of God. You know, David then goes on over the next few verses to pour out his heart to God. You know, he's reaching for help as he senses the enemy getting close to him. And then in verse 13, this is what he says in verse 13. I love this. He says, "Yet I totally trust you to rescue me one more time, so that I can see once again how good you are while I'm still alive." And I like the way the King James, the New King James puts it. It says this. In verse 13, New King James says, "I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." I would have lost heart had I not believed. What he's saying is, because I believe in the greatness and goodness of God, because I am so close to you, God, you know, I haven't lost heart, and I don't lose heart. And I know that I'm going to come through this crisis. And I know, God, that I'm going to see your goodness in the land of the living again. And for every one of us, we must not lose heart. We must not think that we're in some sort of apocalyptic time where, you know, the world is going to fall apart and, you know, this virus is going to take over. And it's like some of the sci-fi films that we've seen. It's not like that. Our faith has to be much stronger than that. We believe in God that we will see good times again. We will. There's never been a time where, what scientists worldwide, scientists in practically every country, whether they're collaborating countries or whether they are enemy countries, scientists are working together, to find a way of beating this virus. Oh, that the church would work together in the same way as the world is working together in the scientific community at this moment in time to bring the world back to some stable place. And yet the church can work together and we can work together because, and what can we do? We can rise up and we can share a word of hope and faith. We know God is bigger than this. We know that if God is within us, that we can rise above these difficult times. We have something that's worth saying. But in order to say that, we have to be so close to God. Because if we allow any distance between ourselves and God at this moment in time, it will be filled with fear. It will be filled with doubt. It will be filled with cynicism. It will be filled with lies. It will be filled with all sorts of rubbish if we are not so close to God. So the last verse in this particular scripture gives us some really good advice. And I would encourage us all after this meeting to really study this one verse. Verse 14, I'm reading it out of the Passion. He says, here is what I've learned through it all. This is David, having gone through all these experiences, having experienced all the enemies, and yet having experienced what it feels like to be so close to God. He says, don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined as one with the Lord. Be brave and courageous and never lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting. He will never disappoint you. Amen.